numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Oh, Brett changed it up right there then. You hear that? Good Thursday morning to you. Not just any Thursday morning. Happy 4th of July, everybody, from a numbers game. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in on this holiday. We are 248 years old. We're symmetrical. 1776, 2024. Symmetrical on the centuries. You get that? 24 to that side, 24 to that side.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Sure. But is it a guy or a gal?
Oh, no, we're feminine today.
Feminine
2024. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. Female numbers. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I have now announced my position on the spectrum to all of you right off the top of the show.
Some people are like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
The greatest nation there ever was. 248 years old. Thank you for joining us this morning. Wherever you're taking in the fireworks tonight, that should be fun. Let me just say this. Vegas temperatures over the next week, Kelly. Ready for this?
No. My air conditioning is not going to survive.
Starting today, 112. Tomorrow, 112. Weekend, 113. 116 on Sunday, down from what was previously predicted to be 118. They don't let the planes land at that point.
Yeah.
115 on Monday, 116 again on Tuesday, 115 again on Wednesday. And then it cools off by next Friday to a balmy 109.
Oh, my gosh.
So we'll enjoy that.
That's we hit 113 yesterday. I was driving around in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh, I don't go outside anymore.
It's literally become that. You can't, if you could see the inside of my place right now, there are couch cushions up against, my sliding glass door to, block sunlight. It's literally there's a cave-like effect going on in my place.
I go outside to come to work. I go outside to go back home. And then Friday, then I go to California just to drop 45 degrees.
Yeah, leave me your keys because AC was struggling to make it last night.
Oh, mine's working pretty good.
Boy, this might be a long weekend.
We do have Crack today. Crack is in full effect. Hour number two, Zach Cohn will be here, so it's Zach and Crack in full effect. First, though, before we get into anything, hot dog eating contest. I suppose we should talk about the hot dog eating contest, which is happening, less than 45 minutes from now. Coney Island, Brooklyn. Nathan's Famous.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that. You're right. The women start early.
Brooklyn. Is this what they're all proud about in Brooklyn? They're like, Brooklyn. It's all about the hot dog eating contest?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Lady side, Miki Sudo. Huge. Miki Sudo, probably. Pardon me. Miki Sudo, huge favorite. -900 on Miki Sudo.
On Follow the Money yesterday. Check it out.
On Follow the Money. Oh, they had her on. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, Miki Sudo... for those who don't know, you want a little background on some of these folks? Miki Sudo, number 3 ranked eater in the world by Major League Eating. They're the ones that run this whole shebang.
Men and women?
Number 3 ranked, yes. She's number 1 ranked female.
I was going to say.
Number 3 ranked overall. How about that? She's a 9-time women's champ. She's going for her 10th in a row here. She's won every year since 2014. It's actually not in a row because in 2021, she was preggers with her son, so she didn't participate that year. Her personal best, 48.5 hot dogs and buns.
Okay.
So she's, that's her personal best.
Was that recent? Do you have the year on that?
That I do not have the year on Miki Sudo. I can give you much more detail on the men's side here, which I'm about to.
Okay, good. I mean, that is the men's side is.
But look, the next best, though, is Mayo Ibihara, who's 5-1. So Miki Sudo is just a huge favorite on the list.
I feel like she's been a huge favorite for years now. I don't know that when I was typing this up this morning, I don't know if I remember actually someone that close, like a clear second that close to her.
Is that really a clear second? I guess it's a clear second because third place is 40-1.
Yeah.
Men's side. I'm actually going to recommend a couple bets on the men's side.
There we go.
How about that?
There we go, Gil.
So the favorite on the men's side, Jeffrey Esper. 49 years old, -120 favorite. Very short favorite. I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but he's finished second at this event each of the past 3 years. We got him at -115 up at DraftKings, up to the minute. Second in this event each of the past 3 years. And, of course, Joey Chestnut is not here to block him, so that's why he's the favorite. His personal best is 51 hot dogs. Last year, though, 49. Keep that in mind. Trajectory here, I would imagine, matters. This is my vast hot dog eating contest knowledge. I think if you're going down, if you're going backwards, it's not a good thing. James Webb is 35 years old, 14 years younger. He's a 2-to-1 dog. Actually, he's now shortened to plus 165. This is the guy I would bet here. This is just his third time doing the hot dogs. His personal best is 47.5. Last year is when he did it, when he finished third. So he's 14 years younger. Esper's on the is coming backwards, coming back towards him. I think Webb, who like basically just showed up and is knocking out 47.5 of these, that's probably the play. I have one more play.
I like that. I like that. Makes sense. I'd rather bet on a guy like that with that's a little bit more wild cardish than, you know, someone that's been there year after year after year.
I believe he's Australian. He just a few weeks ago, just to give you an idea. So these guys don't just do hot dog eating contests.
Oh, it's everything. Yeah.
James
Webb. They gotta make a paycheck.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, he won the Salvation Army National Donut Day by downing 70 glazed donuts in 10 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, man.
By the way, I think our girl, Miki, did
great.
Better than that, by the way. So he was just showing up and doing 70 in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Nick Wary, age 35, is the third shot, plus 550. Now, he is engaged to Miki Sudo, which to me, I'm having trouble removing myself from thinking that when they got engaged, they had food chewed up just coming out of their mouths. He engaged. He asked her to get married. She said yes, and then they made out with food just sprawled all over their faces.
Also, like, what's the past, like, month or two been like in that household? Like, that's just got to be...
just disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nick Wary. Sorry, can't get that image out of my mouth. Plus 550 here. They're both from Tampa. He's the number 4 ranked eater in the world by Major League Eating. So right behind his wife overall. It'll be his 7th appearance in the competition. He's finished 4th at the event the last 2 seasons. His personal best is 48 hot dogs and buns. Now, he's also, in addition to being engaged to Miki Sudo, he's also participated. He holds a couple world records. No, 1 world record.
These are always fun.
He has a world...
whatever their specialty's at. Yeah. What do we got?
Okay, he's got the world record in eating hard-boiled eggs.
Oh, God. That's so gross. That is so gross.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most disgusting segment in the history of a numbers game.
Well, okay, that is more disgusting than me drinking a large amount of eggnog. No?
Maybe.
Oh, I find that gross.
Well, you could take your time with the
eggnog. I could take my time, yeah. Like, you got to pop egg after egg.
How much time do you think it took him in his world record to eat 50 hard-boiled eggs?
3 minutes.
3 minutes and 4 seconds.
Wow.
50. Bro. Can I call you bro?
Yeah.
All right.
Always.
He's also... now, this is where it gets ridiculous. This is Nick Wary. This is, again, Miki Sudo's husband-to-be... fiance, who is the third short shot. He's not going to win this, by the way. I would go under on Nick Wary, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I would, because he, like, 2 years ago, he topped out at 40 dogs. The year before that, he was 44.5. I think his number is 44.5. It sounds like you should go under on him.
I don't know. Like, I think I'm way overthinking this now, though. Yeah. Like, how does this not... there has to be a mental effect when Joey Chestnut's not in the field anymore.
It's like when Dominic Thiem and Sasha Zverev played in the U.S. Open Final because it was the year where Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic, remember that was the year Djokovic hit the ball woman with a tennis ball, so they disqualified him? It was that year where these guys have got to be thinking, this is our chance.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not arguing your bet, but I'm like, I feel like all these guys that have been there before, I think we could see higher numbers because you're like, okay, good. Tiger Woods isn't here anymore. I actually have a chance to win.
Do you realize I've sneaky gave out 2 bets here?
It's hilarious. I was not expecting this.
James Webb to win this at plus money. He's the second shot. And an under on Nick Wary. But here's the thing. In addition to holding the world record for eating 50 hard-boiled eggs in 3 minutes and 4 seconds, which is disgusting.
Give me another one. I could go through these for like 30 minutes. They're so gross.
He is also... the Cuban sandwich eating champion.
Ooh, that just sounds good.
Let me just ask you a question. Like, you can standardize hot dogs. You can, you know, hard-boiled eggs are hard-boiled eggs. When you order Cuban sandwiches, they come in all kinds of varieties.
They do.
So, like...
also, I'm a mayo guy instead of mustard on Cuban.
Yeah, what if I was like, I'd like to do a breakfast burrito with tater tots without avocado eating contest, because I think I could do well on that. Like, you could be really specific at this point. So he's got the Cuban sandwich eating record, having eaten 22 of them in 8 minutes.
Oh, man. Well, that one's tough to judge because what size are we working with here on the Cuban sandwich?
That's what I'm saying. I guess they have to standardize them somehow.
Yeah.
The problem is like you have to have mustard in a Cuban sandwich, otherwise it's not mustard, right? And you have to properly, you know, you've got to standardize the dollop.
Yeah,
these are complicated issues we're tackling.
By the way, mustard, like this is like what one of those things about me that nowhere near mustard. I find mustard so disgusting.
All
like,
mustard.
In all forms.
All mustard.
Yeah, all mustards. Don't be the guy who ever. I get this guy all the time. Even honey mustard?
Even Dijon?
Like, yes, all mustards. It tastes like mustard. It's disgusting.
Even Grey Poupon? So there you go. Two bets. James Webb on the men's side, plus 165, and under on Nick Wary. Sorry.
I believe Darian Thomas is the guy. There's a lot of pandemic, COVID memories we have from gambling, you know, and it was I believe it was Darian Thomas. Remember they did one of these, like, major league eating events that was all, like, everybody was at home and they had to, like, go up against each other?
I blocked that out.
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
We broke it down hard on Follow the Money while we were in the middle of the pandemic.
I'm sure you guys
did. And all I remember is Mitch and I making a bet on the under the amount of time that Darian Thomas would consume baked beans. It was a gallon of baked beans.
Oh.
But the thought was, Gil, Mitch and I are both like, wait, what? Like, it's baked beans. Wouldn't you just kind of like spoon and drink those?
Yeah, what does he do?
And it was like a couple minutes or something that they were giving. He went way under. It was like one of the greatest bets I've ever made. Because that's what he did. Just picked up the tub and started drinking it.
I think it's appropriate to make the comment right now. You should not follow him home afterwards.
Yes.
Do you remember when JVT tried to eat the hot dogs?
Oh, yeah, that's banned. Bill Ady famously saying he would rather have an alligator in the studio.
No, but there was one outside of the studio where he was legitimately trying to do it the first year of VEASAN, and you could see it in his eyes when he crashed. We're coming back. Baseball on the other side.
A numbers game on VEASAN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by Bar Canada at the D and by DraftKings. With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VEASAN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. You'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you got to be a VEASAN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VEASAN Pro at an unbeatable price, normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VEASAN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, data, and our all-new special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Do not miss out. It's our all-new NFL betting guide. Incredible offer. VEASAN.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code ANG.
ANG. Someone bring me a hot dog.
13 months of VEASAN Pro for just $199. Get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VEASAN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlan. Tennis plays that have not begun today. Ready for this?
What you got, Brosif?
On the men's side, I will give you the prices that we gave out at VEASAN.com, that I gave out at VEASAN.com/picks last night. Every host, every guest, every sport, all at VEASAN.com/picks. Everybody's bets can be found there. That is for subscribers. And last night, I put out my four. We're trying to split here in the morning. Still to come on the men's side, and I'll get the exact prices right now. On the men's side, I am on Lucas Pouille is the French. Let me spell that for you. Lucas, P-O-U-I-L-L-E. Lucas Pouille is, I believe, how you pronounce that in French. Of course. You know.
Or Pouille?
No, it's Pouille.
Pouille in American English.
Pouille. I got him at plus 164 last night against Tanasi Kokkinakis, who, of course, is Australian with a Greek name. Pouille, is he still scheduled? Yes. He's at plus 152, I'm seeing.
Okay, 165 at DraftKings.
You could still play him. Oh, plus 165, great. Shop around. So you could still get him almost at the price that I got him. Even better, by a penny. So Pouille is the first play. I think that's a way mispriced match. I think he can take down Kokkinakis. And then this is a way long shot on the ladies' side. I'm taking a flyer on Elena Avanesyan. I don't know if that Avanesyan.
Avanesyan.
against Ludmila Samsonova. Samsonova is how you actually pronounce that. But we are fading Samsonova. Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So
plus
it's
310 on the lean over at DraftKings.
Okay, and I got her at a little less than that, plus 280. So, yeah. So Puya and Avanesyan, those are your plays. Two big dogs coming up at Wimbledon, which is just awesome to have on during the 4th of July.
Yes, it is.
All day long, baseball all day long as well. Speaking of baseball, by the way, before we get to baseball, Sweet Lou Finicaro has chimed in. He says, Bertoletti coming out of retirement, plus 750 at DK in the hot dog eating contest. He goes, that's my lean. Those Italians can chow.
See, that makes a lot of sense to me. That's a guy who's got tired of getting beaten up by Joey Chestnut for years, and he sees his window back
that's
open,
right.
So he's coming out of retirement.
That's
I think that
call.
Makes sense, Lou.
Bertoletti. Plus 750 is the call from Lou Finicaro, who also says, tell Kelly I put mustard on anything.
Gross.
A little mustard war you guys are having.
Yep.
Mustard's gross.
Mustard's gross, you said? Yeah.
Yep.
So? By the way, just cleaning up. So the JVT thing, this was outside of the South Point studio, like the first year of VSiN. JVT was, I think it was hot dogs, where he was trying to eat as many hot dogs as he could in a certain amount of time. And literally, like, you could see it in his eyes when he got to... He could correct me on this, but it was still single digits.
I thought it was like five or something.
Maybe it was more than that, but it was still single digits. And you could see it. You're like, that he's done. You? How much
wait,
did
so,
you do?
Wait, so what was the story? Wasn't it him and Greg that were doing one, though?
I think that
in
was
studio?
An in-studio thing where then it
that's
got
what
banned.
That's what built in like that, yeah.
Can't do that stuff on camera.
Can't have a reversal in studio.
No, can't do that.
A reversal. Is that what they call it, right?
A reversal.
I love that.
We've had a reversal.
How many could I eat in 10 minutes?
How many?
In 10 minutes?
You, Kelly Bidlin.
I could down three in 10 minutes.
Oh, dude. Come on, of course you could down three.
I don't like this, but I'm not doing
if
like...
If I set it at seven and a half,
could
you go over that?
I'm not dunking buns in water and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna
seven
eat a
and a half, over or under.
There's no way I could eat eight hot dogs in 10 minutes.
I'd go under on that.
I could get to eight. If you gave me... If I was starving and I had an hour, I think I could do eight.
Okay.
Wow. Not 10 minutes, though.
No, it's gross.
Yeah.
All right. Mark Borchardt and I did a Q2 baseball pod yesterday, beating the book, MLB derivatives. We do it every quarter after 40 games, after 80 games, after 120. And we have done this for over a decade. So if you do the math, I think we've done about 40 of these in our lifetime.
Wow.
And we love it. It's just we nerd out on baseball stats. We do, you know, the standard one that we'll show just on the screen. Obviously, we do best ROI teams in Major League Baseball. These are, you know, bizarro exercise. If you bet each team every single game, whether they're a favorite or a dog, you know, you bet $100 if they're a dog. You bet $100 if they're a favorite. That's the thing about the favorite. Some people calculate it differently. Bet $100 or bet to win $100. That's why you have some variance or some difference with some charts on this. But the Guardians, the most profitable team by a good margin. If you know, in this bizarro exercise. And the point of the whole podcast is not to just, hey, look at all these stats. It's to try to determine what is predictive, what is sustainable, what is unsustainable. And probably the single biggest thing it's not that we uncovered it, but we sort of realized going through these. Because we go through, I recommend everybody who's a baseball hardo to listen to the podcast, because we go through umpire stats, who are the most reliable over and under umpires in Major League Baseball when they're behind home plate calling balls and strikes. And it's not just a this year thing. Mark has historical data. So we don't just rely on the 80-game sample size. We see if they match with his historical data. So we uncovered one very reliable over umpire, one very reliable under umpire, which they're doing their thing this year, basically.
That's great. Because, if you could try, if you could see some guys been doing that for, you know, over the course of 4 years, then, it's something you could start to pay attention to.
Yeah, the over umpire probably has a strike zone the size of a thimble, and the under umpire has vast
right,
strike
right,
zone.
Yeah.
So there's that. We also do first innings, which you won't find anywhere else. Those are proprietary. We talk about the pitchers that are the best and the worst in first innings, because people like to bet first innings, mm-hmm. The Yurfies and the Nerfies, they call it now. Mm-hmm. The kids, so cute. They're adorable with their names. And then biggest thing we found, though, because we do first fives, right? And by the way, VSiN.com, can I just shout out VSiN.com? Whenever we do the VSiN.com promo, we're talking about betting splits and betting by state and all these articles. It has great, robust baseball stats now, right? So there's a bit of an umpire tracker there as well, not historically, but this year. We do, and on VSiN.com, there's best first five and worst first five teams. Same thing for the full game, but also, you know, what's their record, win, loss, and draw first five. And so this year, you will see, as we put it up at VSiN.com here, Phillies are number one. Makes sense by a mile because they have, think about their top three in their starting rotation, Wheeler, Nola, and Suarez. So it makes sense why they are literally, if you bet the Phillies every single game this year, first five, whether favorite or dog, you'd be up 20 units just doing that. 20 plus yields.
Yep.
The next closest is the Guardians, who are just over 9 units up. But the outlier there, as you can see, is in the number four position because it's Phillies, Guardians, Orioles. The Yankees are in fifth, and looky here. Look who's in fourth.
That's crazy.
The Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox are, so just think about this.
I'm actually impressed with just their overall first five record.
Well, that's the point.
Right.
So this is the point of why we do this thing. So,
and then obviously they're a dog a lot.
Well, and they're a dog a lot. So this is the point. In real life, right, and obvious in the real life Major League Baseball standings, even though the White Sox, by the way, the White Sox are the Guardians' kryptonite. They beat them again last night, crushed them. It's incredible how the White Sox have the Guardians' number. But the White Sox in real life, even with that win last night, 25-63. I mean, they have a -157 run differential, and that's after winning by 6 last night. They're horrible at baseball.
That's incredible.
But first five, they are 35-41-11. And as Kelly said, they're always a dog, right? Maybe every time. So 35-41-11, you'd be up 6.5 units betting them first five. Now, here's the even bigger thing we talked about.
God, that bullpen just has to be awful.
There are the bull. That's the takeaway, right? The bullpen sucks, and like, everybody knows
they're a near
suck.
500 team in the first five innings.
But here's the point, Kelly. There are some sports books that offer double results, like soccer, right? For who's going to win at halftime? Who's going to win full game? Baseball has the equivalent at some sports books. Who's going to win? Who's going to be leading after first five? Who's going to be leading after the game? The White Sox have hit the double result of leading after five and losing 16 different times this year.
That's awesome.
The average price on those 16 is like 7-1.
Yeah, sure.
So if you just hit all of those, right, if you bet that blindly, you'd be up, the 16 that you hit would be up over 100 units, and then you'd lose all the others. You wouldn't even care because you'd be so far.
Yeah.
Is that sustainable? It kind of sounds like it is. That was a big takeaway from that. Zach Cohen on the other side. Tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Barcanada, the barrage, right here at the D. Skill Alexander, it is Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Whatever you do, be safe with your fireworks. How's that for a PSA?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
We get tweets.
Keep in mind the dogs, the poor dogs.
The poor dogs.
I feel so bad.
They don't enjoy this.
I don't know why I'm saying keep in mind, though. Nobody's going to keep that in mind.
They should. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is Anthony Sween who says, "You think Esper stepped off the gas last year when getting destroyed by Jaws? Maybe that explains the decline. And what is a quote-unquote reversal of fortune in the contest, plus 300 right now? Why not a total dogs in the month of July bet while you're at it?" Yes. Is Circa or William Hill Caesars offering a total month bet? Because I might be able to nail that one. Jaime Leva, dropping, quote, standardized dollop in the first segment, first sign of a great day. Happy 4th, gentlemen. You too. This is John Balducci. Please continue with sports, and then at some point, please quickly let us know why they don't land planes when it's 1:15. We don't have that problem in Rochester. My understanding is
this blows my mind.
Rubber on the tires when you land could explode and it becomes unsafe.
I believe that is the explanation I've heard as well. I believe it applies to planes taking off, too. Like, I think there's delays when you're trying to get out of Vegas because of that,
right as well? I want to get to the bottom of that, but I think we're correct on that. This is from
Jason from CJ.
Jason H11. I love trying to pronounce these tennis players' names and then have Gilly give the actual pronunciation and then see how badly I butchered the player's name. Jeremiah Westgate, which is his real name. Gil, thank you for the inside scoop on Miki Sudo and Nick Wary making out with food in their mouths. I had prepared a delicious bacon, egg, and cheese on an English muffin that I no longer wish to eat. My dog thanks you, too. Yeah, you're very welcome.
English muffins also overrated. Throw that on a bagel. That sounds great.
I like an English muffin.
Yeah.
Steve the Proxy. Yeah, he says his recollection was Greg Peterson almost died off of, I think, five dogs in studio to ban all future dog-offs. Someone should tweet out that video. Also, he says, I need a throwback to those humans versus Greg generational gap segments, which were absolute gold. Happy 4th and stay cool, fellas. The segments with Greg were always great.
Yeah, they were. They were.
I used to go, Abilene Christian, go. And then he would just give like a five-minute diatribe on every player on Abilene Christian. He could have been lying.
Could have been lying to me.
No idea. This is from CJ. Could Kelly do this? The 999 challenge is simple. You eat 9 hot dogs, drink 9 beers, and do it during a baseball game, so for 9 innings. Could you do that? 9 hot dogs, 9 beers, 9 innings.
That's a good challenge right there. Hungry enough? I think I could, Gil. And are we talking like regular poor beers? We can't go like ballpark tall beers.
Yeah, you gotta get the rules in advance.
Yeah, I got to get the rules. Yeah. I think I could do that, though.
That's a hard maybe, CJ. It's a hard maybe from Kelly. Zach Cohen is kind enough to wake up 4th of July morning with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, senior writer here at VSiN, and of course, along with Adam Burke, the glue that holds the whole operation together. You can follow him at Betting on X. What's happening, Zach? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I've been up. I've been watching. I had to wake up and see Stan Wawrinka holds one service game to cover 4.5 games because they were postponed from yesterday.
There you go. This is, you know, lesson number 5 bajillion why sports betting is such a puzzle and such a mind meld, if you will. Pick another word besides meld if you'd like. But I'm running bad, and so, you know, my numbers are like, well, Wang's in you against Jesse Pegula. Her grass numbers are unbelievable. We're talking about Wang's in you. But because I'm running bad, I'm just going to play it conservatively and not touch it. And here she is about to knock out Jesse Pegula. Though, 5-love second set, she's about to get broken to go 5-2 here perhaps. So hold everything. But I'm just saying, like, these are so many things. And now if I'm running good, Zach, maybe I play it. You know what I mean?
Yep, and I will say we have learned this tournament that a 5-0 lead is not safe. I think
we've seen
a few comebacks so far. So, hey, maybe it's not going to be over yet.
Yeah, Tomas Mikas, who I am fading right now with Roman Safiyin, he actually came back from 5-love against David Goffin to win it. You don't often see that, and you see it less so on the men's side than you do on the ladies' side. We once won a Katie Valinitz match a couple years ago when she was down 5-love in a final set. What did you land on today? What bets do you still have going?
I still have a few that haven't started yet, so I'll start with those. I have Cam Norrie plus 4.5 games against Jack Draper. You could probably get that at plus 5.5 with not too bad a juice, and I do prefer that number, so I'll definitely look into that. I just think it's a really weird situation where Norrie's an older player from the same country. I think he's going to feel like he really should win that match. He's 2-0 against Draper at the ATP level, and I just think there's going to be a fire in him. Just, you know, from Draper having overtaken British world number one, goes into the match as a favorite. Norrie's a guy that I really like to back as an underdog. Also, Draper coming off a 5-set match, he's a guy with fitness concerns. So I do think there's a chance if it goes to the 4th or 5th set, he's going to tire out a little bit. And Norrie's, you know, one of the feistiest competitors in the sport. I think he's going to be able to get a lot of balls back, you know, ask a lot of questions of Draper and potentially win that match.
I love that. Tennis is the only sport that does that. Ask a lot of questions of your opponent. Yeah. No, we don't say that in football. Boy, that Tom Brady is asking a lot of questions of the opponent. By the way, Norrie's historical grass numbers, for what they're worth, are actually better than Draper's, right? So that would corroborate as well. What else?
I have over 3.5 sets in Emil Roussevori against Stefanos Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas is a player that really should be good on grass. He has a big serve, really big forehand. The backhand shouldn't be as big of a weakness. You know, we see guys like Matteo Berrettini, they just kind of chip and slice that backhand on this surface effectively. Tsitsipas can't do it. Not very comfortable with the serve on this surface as much as he is elsewhere. And his net game, I guess, isn't good enough. So I think that this is a match that I'd be really surprised if it doesn't go 4 or 5 sets. Roussevori, a really powerful baseline player, has the ability to just really outmuscle anybody. So I think he's going to look like he belongs in a match against Tsitsipas, especially on this surface. Tsitsipas only 22-17 on grass in his career. So I'd be really surprised if this is a straight set match either way.
I stay away from all Emil Roussevori matches because he is my Irvin Santana. I have said many times, Irvin Santana was the pitcher when I backed him. He was terrible. He would get shelled when I would fade him. He would be Cy Young. Emil Roussevori is that guy for me. And the other day I faded him and he won a five-setter. Who did he play again? Whoever I bet lost against Rusevori. He won a five-setter against me. Rusevori won two tiebreakers, 8-6. It's just uncanny when it rains, it pours.
Plus, he has like five U's in his name.
True. And he's four U's in his name. Yeah, Rusevori. Finnish, by the way, Kelly. I don't know if you know that. Finnish. That's where he's from.
Too many
Finland. He's from Finland. All right. Third, what do you got?
The final one is Marcos Giron, plus 2.5 sets against Alexander Zverev. This is another one where, you know, Zverev really should be very good on grass. He's solid on grass, but he has the lowest winning percentage on this surface as he does on any of the three. I think that Giron is a really good fast court player. They actually played at the 2021 Australian Open, and Giron won a set there. That's not a grass court, but it's, you know, as fast as it gets for a hard court. So I do think he has the ability to kind of give Zverev some trouble here. The surfaces makes Giron a little bit more of a dangerous server, which he needs. He's not a very good server, but he's a really good defensive player, but also has a really big forehand. He can hit a lot of winners when he is hitting well. So I do think there's a chance that he's going to push this match to four or five sets as well.
And this update, Jesse Pegula goes down to Wang Xinyu, and that was a big upset, at least by the betting market. Kelly, what do you say after every time Pegula loses in a tournament?
Is she going to be able to make rent? Is she going to be okay? I'm always concerned when this happens, Gil. You know that.
She should be okay.
She'll be okay?
We're going to check on our finances, but she should be okay. The joke here, Jesse Pegula is a billionaireess. She is the heiress to a family fortune of $7.5 billion. Oh, her dad owns the Buffalo Sabres and the Buffalo Bills.
Gil and I rechecked the numbers this morning. $7.5 billion.
Yes, which makes Emma Navarro look like a pauper because her dad merely is worth $1.5 billion.
Step it up.
A pauper.
Step it up, Emma's dad.
That's right.
There was an interview with Pegula, by the way, where she was like, you know, I am rich on my own.
It's true.
She's like won like $25 million. True, or yeah.
You know what? Absolutely. Both of these, we should absolutely say that because these girls deserve all the – listen, I know they probably had the best lessons they could get, and they probably were at a country club where they could play
from
the age of three.
Sure, sure, but you still got to be good.
But you still ended up being like a top 10 player in the world, in Jesse's case, top five. And in Navarro's, I don't know what she is ranked, but top 20 for sure. So it's like – still, come on. Good for them. And Jesse's right. She's still rich.
I'm glad she said that. That's great.
Yeah. Bottom line then here, Zach, for this tournament right now, because I said as uneven as the matches are going, the futures on my end look great so far. Is there anything you've seen where you're like, well, I don't know if this is going to happen, or are you more sort of solidified in what your preflop thoughts were?
I mean, I got to say, like, I see all these people on Twitter being like, there's no way Novak Djokovic had surgery. He's faking it. And I know that they're crazy. But at the same time, I'm watching him play, and he looks awesome. So it's frustrating, like, you know, that I second-guessed him going into the tournament because he does have a really easy draw. I think if he doesn't lose this next match against, is it going to be Runa or Khachanov? Like he's going to probably go to the semifinals.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you know this. He's pretty good at tennis, this Novak guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going for his 25th. No, pardon me. Going for his 25th Grand Slam singles title. He is in he's already number one on the men's side. Margaret Court has 24 on the women's side, so that would break that tie if you're looking for a record to sort of manufacture there. Zach, thank you. Happy 4th of July. Be safe, and take care of that dog of yours as well.
You too, guys. Enjoy.
Zach Cohen, betting on X on Twitter. We'll come back. Triple Crown props in Major League Baseball are out. We'll take a brief look at those. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL Betting Guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL Betting Guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Hey, Taylor, if we could just go back to where we had it, that would be better than what I'm getting right now. I'd appreciate it in the ears. We get tweets at Bidlin. We get texts and tweets, by the way, Kelly. Texts. This is from Mike Montesano, who won the Circa Booby Prize the first year. He said the significant others, thank you, Taylor, the significant others of the men and women participating in the hot dog eating contest must be so proud. LOL. So great.
That is going to be a, it's going to be an awkward event to, attend to support like that.
Yeah. Yes. This is, you go out there and get them, honey. In the case of Nick Wary and...
I've watched this for a lot of years and not thought about that part of it, Michael. That's a good call.
Miki Sudo making out with the food. Mike Zill's Duke 90. We would do $1 beers per inning. So $1 beer per inning at the old single Durham Bulls Park where they filmed the movie, Bull Durham. So I guess what he's saying is $1
beer. Oh, it's probably $1 beer night. Yeah.
Beer and inning.
League promotions like that. That's always fun.
GV, New Jersey, New York. He says, love the 999 challenge. Probably something I'd try myself. Two, really love the MLB analysis last segment. Definitely piqued my interest. Check it out at the podcast, Beating the Book MLB Q2 Derivatives. Mark Borchardt and I, base winner and I, have done these for more than a decade. Literally, we were counting, you do the math. It's with 40 of these we've done.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's also great, like on top of everything you said, it's a great way to, like, if you're someone like me who's not involved in the baseball season, right at the beginning, it's a great, just kind of little catch up on what's been going on betting-wise.
I love the monthly hot dog suggestion so for gross. Books. I mean, monthly hot dogs. Okay. Oh, Indiana Jet. Thank you, Indiana Jet. By the way, Jet in his Twitter handle, so he must know what he's talking about. He provided us with a very technical analysis that he saw a few days ago why heat affects takeoff and landing. So to the notion of when it gets to 115, 116 degrees, which it will be by forecast in Las Vegas this weekend and then past the weekend. He says, in short, high heat reduces lift, meaning planes need longer runways. And he says in Las Vegas and Phoenix, where it's obviously the hottest. By the way, sometimes you go from here to Phoenix and you're like, oh, my God, it's even hotter here. In Phoenix. He said Las Vegas and Phoenix have planned for that. They do have some of the longest runways, knowing that you will need extra time for lift in the hot temperatures because it takes longer to climb to a safe altitude. It has to do with molecules and density and all that. And like we were talking off air, you and me, Kelly, when this subject would come up in school, I would tune out immediately.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay. Let's go to something that actually...
He sent us this full explanation, which I read through in its entirety, Gil, and I still can't really provide a better explanation to the audience because, yeah. Yes, my science knowledge is so limited. Because you're right, they'd start that in high school and be like, oh my God, when's lunch already? Get me out of here.
Oh, I would immediately drift.
I'm going to stick with my easier explanation of... ground's just too hot, Gil. Those tires are going to pop, okay? Ground's way too hot.
Well, I think
that sounds a lot more intelligent.
I think that's part of it, too, actually. I think it's both. Okay, let's talk Triple Crown, Major League Baseball. By the way, Crack coming up at the top of the hour. Full unscripted with the Crack Man coming up at the top. And they're about to start the hot dog eating contest, so hopefully our bets get home or lose. The history of Major League Baseball. There have been a grand total of 12 times, where a player has finished the season in his respective league as the number one player in home runs, RBI, and batting average. Now, this was a huge thing many, many years ago before the advent of advanced analytics. Carl Yastrzemski in 1967, it was actually back-to-back years. 1966, Frank Robinson for the Orioles won the Triple Crown in the American League, went 49-122 with a .316 batting average. The next year, Carl Yastrzemski did it for the Boston Red Sox. 44 homers, 121 ribbies, and 326 batting average. And then it didn't happen again for 45 years. And so this became a huge thing. And finally, in the year 2012, you may remember Miguel Cabrera of the Detroit Tigers did it. And I remember on my podcast, I think it was Betting Dork at the time, on Dork, I would say, because we were talking MVP then, everybody, all the newfangled analytics folks wanted to give it to Mike Trout. My point was, you can't talk about something for 45 years as some hallowed thing, and then all of a sudden, because we have these newfangled stats, decide, well, we got to give it to Trout. No, this one time, you have to give it to Cabrera. Next year, different story. Then you could do your newfangled thing. So that's exactly what happened, by the way. So Miguel Cabrera is the last person to win the Triple Crown. But we got a couple guys right now. We are more than halfway through the season. The All-Star break's in less than 2 weeks, so just over a week from now. And we're over half a season for all teams now. And we have a couple guys, Aaron Judge in the American League and Shohei Ohtani in the National League, that are man, if the season were to end now, Judge would win the Triple Crown and Otani would be knocking at the door. So let's just talk about Aaron Judge for a second. Aaron Judge to win the Triple Crown, to continue this, sustainable or unsustainable, to win the Triple Crown, yes, this is at DraftKings, yes is 5-1. The no is minus 900. Now, if you go to the stats right now, Aaron Judge leads in all three American League Triple Crown categories. He has 32 home runs, which is a 6-home run lead over Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles. So he is well ahead. Both Judge and Otani have a 6-home run lead in their respective leagues in that category. In the case of RBI, Aaron Judge has 83 currently. He has a 7 RBI advantage over Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Guardians. And in terms of batting average, and this is the one kind of blows their mind because people don't think of Judge as a batting average guy, he currently leads the American League in batting average with a .318 batting average. That is only 3 points ahead of Luis Rengifo of the Los Angeles Angels, who's .315. And I might note Bobby Witt Jr., who would be the guy I would be worried about, at .314 for the Royals. 5-1 on Aaron Judge to win the Triple Crown. Would you bet it or not? I would be more inclined, let's put it this way. For me, I'd be more inclined to bet this than I would Shohei, and I'll tell you why coming up.
Okay. That's interesting.
Bobby Witt Jr. does scare me for batting average.
I mean, what's the most likely for both of these guys? What is the category they're most likely
batting average?
It's batting average.
For Judge, it's batting average for sure. In Shohei's case, I think it's also batting average. Quite frankly, Shohei again leads the National League by 6 home runs. He has 27. The next closest National Leaguer has 21. RBI right now. Alec Bohm of the Phillies leads with 70. Marcelo Zuna has 67. Shohei six back with 64.
Judge has 19 more RBI than Shohei does. Wow.
Yeah. Well, so Shohei is first in homers. He's third in RBI right now. And in batting average, he's currently number one. He's actually got the best batting average in all of baseball right now, .319. But he has a couple Padres, Jerkson Profar at .314, and the guy I would be worried about, the great Luis Arraez, who's at .310 right now. And Arraez is one of these guys that can just catch fire, and that'll be the end of that.
That's also tough when you someone like him, you see him do it year after year.
Well, Luis Arraez is one of only 8 players historically who has won the batting title for 2 different teams, and he is the only person in the history of baseball to win it consecutive years for 2 different teams. He is trying to be the first player ever to win it 3 straight years, 3 different teams, by the way. We're talking Marlins, Twins, Twins, Marlins, Padres, pardon me. Twins, Marlins, Padres. So Shohei's plus 950 to win the Triple Crown. The no is minus 2,000. I mean, I wouldn't bet the no, but I'm definitely not betting Shohei at plus 950 because he's already behind in RBI by, what did I say, 6?
Yeah.
And 6, was it? 70 to 64. Yeah, he's behind by 6. He's also got Marcelo Zuna in between him and Baum. And I just don't know if the batting average, if he can fend off guys like Arraez. So for me, I'm not betting Shohei on this. But like you could, if you said you were betting Aaron Judge at 5-1 to become the 13th ever Triple Crown winner in the history of baseball, I would not hate your bet.
You think he'll be able to keep it up with the batting average?
That's the one that's the kryptonite, right? The other two, home runs and RBI, if he stays healthy, he's winning those.
Right, yeah, that's where – you said it perfectly. I think a lot of people, including myself, don't think about him as a, you know, over 300 hitter.
Bobby Witt Jr. is the dude I'd be worried about.
Okay.
But 5-1, I mean, it'd be a fun bet to have. Now, full disclosure, I have not bet it because we don't have it here in town.
I think this just got posted by DraftKings.
And DraftKings just posted this, so let's put it this way. I like Judge a whole bunch better than I like Otani. 5-1 versus plus 950. Bill,
he hit 311 in 2022.
Yeah. We'll see. Bill Krakenberger on the other side. @BillKrakman with a K. Unscripted next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.